What's up, everybody? Good morning and welcome to our Sunday morning Water's Edge online worship experience. Thank you so much for tuning in if you're able to. We know that the world is crazy right now. We've been through so much devastation. We've seen so much devastation in our hometown, the city that we love, Lake Charles. Many of you are hurting. We're confused. We're on edge. We're stressed out. We're all there. We all need each other. So I love you. We love you. I hope you find some encouragement with what I share with you today. Have you ever done something that you were not supposed to do? Have you ever done something wrong? Obviously, we all have. But let's say that you got caught. Let's say that you did something that you were not supposed to do, and then you got caught. And the people who had the ability to punish you or to somehow apply consequences to your life, they saw that you did something you were not supposed to do, and let's say that they decide to just let it go, to not apply the consequences that you deserve to your life. You messed up, you did something wrong, you did something that you shouldn't have, and the people that have the ability to punish you or apply consequences to your life after they've noticed that you have messed up and you've done something wrong, they decide to not apply those consequences. They decide to not give you what you do deserve and to give you another chance. You messed up. You made a mistake. There are people who can apply consequences to your life, but after they've observed your life and your heart and even your mistake, they've decided to give you a second chance, to give you another chance. Like one afternoon, I remember I was late for a wedding in Lafayette that I had to perform. And I didn't get to leave Lake Charles till it was almost 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and the wedding started in Lafayette at 6 o'clock p.m., and so I knew that I was going to be pushing it, man. There's probably no way I was going to make it unless I was going to speed down the highway, and so that's what I'm doing. I am speeding down Interstate 10 from Lake Charles on my way to Lafayette, trying to make it to this wedding on time, and then I see the lights in my rearview mirror, and I get pulled over by a state trooper. And so the state trooper's asking me questions, why I'm speeding, why I'm going so fast. And I tell him I'm a pastor. I'm not a bad guy. In fact, I'm on my way to Lafayette to perform a wedding ceremony for a couple. I was just running late. Things got really busy today, and I know it's my fault, so I deserve the ticket. And this is what he says. He says, Mr. Bork, if you tell me that you weren't wearing your seatbelt, then I'll give you a ticket for a seatbelt violation. And in my mind, I thought he was trying to trick me. I thought that he was going to for sure give me a ticket for speeding, but that he was also going to give me a ticket on top of that for not wearing my seatbelt when I did have my seatbelt on. I was wearing my seatbelt. And so I said, no, sir. I said, I was wearing my seatbelt. I said, I have it on. I said, I didn't put this on when you stopped me. I've been having it on. He's like, Mr. Bork, he said, you're not hearing me. He said, if you tell me that you were not wearing your seatbelt, then I'll just give you a seatbelt violation. And it still didn't register to me. I said, no, sir. I said, I was speeding. I said, but I was wearing my seatbelt. I know that for sure. He said, Mr. Bork, he said, you're not understanding what I'm telling you. He said, if you tell me that you were only wearing your seat, that you were not wearing your seatbelt, and if you tell me that, then I'm telling you that I will only give you a seatbelt violation ticket and not a speeding ticket. And I thought, oh, now it's clicking. So I'm like, yes, sir, I wasn't wearing my seatbelt at all. But let me explain to you what that was. That was mercy. I was speeding. The law officer who has the ability to apply consequences to my life saw me speeding and pulled me over. But yet he didn't apply those consequences. He did not give me what I did deserve on that day, and that's mercy. So remember this today. Mercy is when you don't get what you absolutely do deserve. Now remember this verse today. This is a verse that we're going to focus on, Luke 6:36. This is what it says. You must be compassionate just as your Father in heaven is compassionate. Or Jesus said that you must have mercy just as your Father in heaven is merciful. You be merciful because your God is merciful. And so there comes a time in my life when I know, man, I have messed up. I got caught. I deserve the speeding ticket. I deserve these consequences. But the person who had the authority to give me that consequences decided to not give it to me. That is mercy. And in the same way, God has a ton of limitless mercy for you and I in our life, when we're hurting, when we're struggling, when we feel like failures, or when we mess up, God has an ocean of mercy for you and I. Now, on the other hand, sometimes we don't get what we do deserve. But have you ever been given something good that you didn't deserve? You didn't work for it. You didn't pay for it. You didn't earn it. It wasn't owed to you. Someone gave you something beautiful, good, and valuable out of the goodness of their heart, out of their love, and you did nothing to earn it or to deserve it or to work for it. My mom's dad, my grandpa Scott, he died of cancer several years ago. And as he was passing away from cancer, I was a young college student. I was pastoring my first church in Starks. I was in seminary. There's a lot of things going on. I didn't have a lot of money or anything like that. And I remember one weekend, I went with my dad and my mom to visit my papa before he passed away. And before we left Houston that day to come back home, my papa Scott asked me to come sit down on the couch by him. And as I did, he just gave me a big hug. And then he slid some car keys over to me. My papa had had like an 85 Chevy Tahoe Blazer, leather interior, all kind of stuff. And this was in the 90s though, so it was several years old, but it was paid off and everything. And he says, Tony, he goes, I don't need this Chevy Tahoe Blazer anymore. He goes, I want to give it to you. He said, I want to give you a head start. He goes, I just want to help you out. He goes, and so here's the keys. It's yours. It's all yours. Now, I didn't work for that Chevy. I didn't earn that Chevy. I didn't do anything to deserve that Chevy Tahoe Blazer. But my papa gave it to me even though I didn't earn it. My papa gave it to me even though I didn't work for it. Say, Tony, what is that? That's grace. That's what grace looks like. So remember this today. Grace is when you're given or offered something that you absolutely do not deserve and you absolutely have not earned. John 1:16. Notice this verse today, John chapter 1, verse 16. It says this, from God's abundance, we have received one gracious blessing after another. Or other translations say this, because of God's abundance, God's love, that we have received grace upon grace. One gracious blessing after another. I need help. I have a struggle. I'm missing something. I did not work for it. I did not earn it. But the person who has the ability to give me this gift gave it to me anyway, even though I did nothing to deserve this. That is what grace is. Mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. And grace is when someone gives you something valuable that you did not deserve and you did not earn. And God, in the same way about His mercy, has an ocean of grace for you and I when we need it. He has a limitless amount of grace, a ton of limitless amount of grace for you and I when we're hurting, when we're struggling, and all we have to do is just accept it. As children of God, we have to realize something though. God has mercy for you and I, and God has grace for you and I. But as the church, as people that love Jesus and follow Jesus, you and I are the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. We're the visible representation of God's kingdom in Jesus here on this earth. And as the church, we're the fountains and we're the givers and we're the examples of mercy and grace in this life, to this world, and to other people. But it also does something to us and for us as individuals when we give mercy and grace out to other people who are hurting. The question is, what does that do for them and what does that do for us? Now, if you've ever wondered about how you can overcome doubts about your faith, I don't know if you've ever dealt with that, but we deal with that often. Anyone who's honest deals with doubts about their faith. If you've ever wondered, how can I overcome this battle? How can I defeat this battle of doubts about my faith? Well, when it comes to our faith, I'd just like to share my heart with you today. And this is how I deal with these battles. And so I just want to be real and honest. One thing I found to be true is this, and remember this today. Anytime I put my faith into action and I make my faith visible to people who are watching, then my faith gets stronger. Anytime I put my faith to work and I make it visible, then it just grows. Now, our goal in making our faith visible is not to mark ourselves and identify us as Christian. So everyone else who's watching can know, oh, there's the Christians. That's not why we do that. But for so many people, that's really just the extent of their faith. For so many people, the extent of their faith is they order that T-shirt that says "Jesus is my homeboy," or "No fear if you know him," or just something like that, some kind of Christian T-shirt, and they think that wearing that T-shirt is going to mark them as Christian. It's going to let everyone else know whose team I'm on, and I'm on the Christian team. And I'm not ashamed of Jesus, so I'm going to wear my Christian T-shirt. Now, don't get me wrong. I have Christian T-shirts. I'm wearing a Ramones T-shirt right now because I like the Ramones. But I have Water's Edge T-shirts and Christian T-shirts. But I have to be honest with you. There's a whole lot more to my relationship with Jesus than just getting the T-shirt that says, "Jesus is my homeboy." There's a whole lot more to our faith than just marking ourselves as Christians so everyone else can know what category we fit in or what side we're on. Because, by the way, Jesus followers have no team and we have no side. Jesus followers have no team and we have no side. Let me say that again. Jesus followers have no team, and we have no side. We're on everybody's team. We're on everybody's side. Faith is not about adopting a church life for you and your family as you get older because it's the right, proper thing to do. So you can take pictures of you and your family on Sundays outside of church in front of the church building and post it on Instagram so everyone on Instagram can know, oh, they're a good family. They go to church. If that's the extent of our faith, then we're missing something and we're always going to doubt it. It's not about identifying yourself as Christian so everyone else can see. Putting our faith into action has never been about showing everyone what side we're on. It's about this. And remember this today because this is so crucial. We make our faith visible so people who are struggling with their faith or people who are curious about faith can see what a gracious faith looks like. That's why we do this. The last thing I want is for someone, anyone who is hurting, lonely, hungry, heartbroken, in need, confused, or looking for God to look at my faith and how I express my faith. And after they evaluate my faith, they say, no, I don't want to have anything to do with that God. I don't want to have anything to do with their faith. I'm not interested. We want our faith to be contagious by grace and mercy. Now, understand what I'm not saying. I realize that sometimes other Christians can look at other Christians' life and they disagree. They just disagree and it turns them off or whatever. I'm sure there's been people who are church people and Christian people that have evaluated my life or the way I follow Christ, and maybe it's turned them off. Maybe it's turned them off from me, or maybe it's turned them off from our church, but they're Christians. So it didn't turn them off from God, and it didn't turn them off from the faith. They probably just left and went to another church. The reality is, if they die, they're going to go to heaven. They're safe. They're just Christians who have issues with other Christians. That's not what I'm talking about. The way I live my life, I'm not trying to impress any church person. The way I put my faith into practice, I'm not trying to impress any religious person. I'm not trying to get any religious person to clap and say, wow, look at how he puts his faith into action. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm talking about people who've never been to church, or they've been hurt by church, or they're skeptical about God. I'm talking about those people who are watching. Because the bottom line is this, there's a lot of good, uptight, proper church people who turn a lot of outside people away from God because they're so judgmental and they're so ununderstanding and they're so narrow-minded. They really are. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the people who are hurting outside of the church. They're watching. And what do they see? We're the fountains of mercy and grace in this world. We're the hands and the feet of Jesus. And when you need mercy, Jesus gives it to you by not giving you what you do deserve. And when you need grace, Jesus gives it to you by giving you one blessing after another that you don't deserve. And as people who say that we love Jesus, we're the hands and we're the feet of Jesus. And as we look around us right now during this time, our community's really devastated and people are really hurting. And so all the things that we argue about and all the things that we're divided about, they make no difference right now. They just don't matter right now. You say, Tony, what matters? What matters is faith, mercy, and grace. And it matters that we take it to the streets. And it matters that we love all people with mercy and grace, and we're fountains of mercy and grace to all people, whether they agree with us or not, whether they look like us or not, whether they believe like us or not, whether they like us or not. We are here to serve anyone and everyone. And when you have a group of people that have that type of faith, and they give mercy to people when they don't deserve it, and they give grace to people when they don't deserve it, people that they don't know, people who haven't worked for it or earned it, or people who've messed up, and we just give them mercy and grace, and we serve, and we serve, and we serve. When you do that, that puts your faith into action, and it always makes your faith grow. But it always helps other people see how much they mean to God. When you do that, it helps your faith grow, but it helps other people see how much they mean to God and His love. So let's take our mercy, let's take our grace, and let's bring it to the streets, because people need it right now. We all need it. We all need each other. So let's give mercy and grace, not only to the people that we don't know and we serve them, but we also need it too. I'm going through a hard time. So are you. I need your mercy. I need your grace. You need my mercy. You need my grace. Let's give it to each other, and that's when people see Jesus. The Bible says that God is the Father of all mercy. Jesus said in the New Testament that He was full of grace and truth. In the book of Hebrews, it says that God's throne is the throne of grace. And in the book of Psalms, it says that God's mercies are new every single morning. Our God is the God of mercy and grace. He gives us mercy and He gives us grace. And as followers of Jesus, we're the hands and we're the feet of Jesus. And so we take mercy and grace to the streets. Are there people in your life who don't know much about God? Are there people in your life who've been turned off by church and they've been pushed away from God, specifically a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you have people in your life who've been hurt by religion? Our job is to show people love, to reach out to people, but also to show them the most loving and accurate version of faith in God. And so this is what our faith must look like if we want to create curiosity inside of hurting people so God's love can heal their soul. Our faith looks like you and I taking mercy and grace to the streets. And anytime I put my faith into action with mercy and grace, and people are watching, my faith always becomes stronger as I take mercy and grace to the street.
What an awesome, awesome message from Pastor Tony. So impactful and such a timely message that we need right now for our season as a city. If you want to stay up to date with Water's Edge, make sure you follow us on social media. We're on Facebook at Water's Edge Gathering, and we're also on Instagram at Water's Edge_LC. And make sure you download the church app where you can listen to all Pastor Tony's messages, listen to all the latest worship, and donate for help relieving our city through this time. We love you so much, and I hope you guys have a great, great week. We love you.